St. Dominic's Catholic Church in San Francisco presents a homily by Father Lawrence Liu on October 20th, 2019, the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Today's Gospel is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, proclaimed by Father Lawrence Liu.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said there was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, "Render a just decision for me against my adversary." For a long time the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, "While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me." The Lord said, "Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones, who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us say together the prayer to St. Jude Thaddaeus. St. Jude, glorious apostle, faithful servant and friend of Jesus, the name of the traitor has caused you to be forgotten by many, but the Church honors and invokes you universally as the patron of difficult and desperate cases. Pray for me, who am in need of God's mercy. Make use, I implore you, of that particular privilege accorded to you, bring visible and speedy help where help was almost despaired of. Come to my assistance in this great need, that I may receive the consolation and help of heaven in all my necessities, tribulations, and sufferings, particularly. And that I may praise God with you and all the elect throughout all eternity, I promise you, O blessed Jude, to be ever mindful of this great favor. I will honor you as my special and powerful patron and encourage devotion to you. St. Jude, pray for us and for all who honor and invoke thy aid. Amen. O tempora, O mores, O what times, O what morals! And what are these times we live in? Where are we headed as a church, or as a society, or as a civilization? Over in London, the anxiety over the political chaos has been rising, certainly as the end of the month and the Brexit deadline draws near. And over the last month, the anxiety over climate change is escalating. brought on by a group called Extinction Rebellion. Over in the Catholic Twitterverse, or perhaps among many good Catholics in our pews and churches as well, anxiety over the state of the church or concerning the actions and misdeeds of church leaders brims over. Oh, what times are these? Oh, how sinful the actions and customs of our age. O tempora, o mores. For many, these certainly seem to be apocalyptic times. Youth take to the podium of the United Nations to decry the loss of their future, and others take to the streets to protest the extinction of humanity due to the impending doom of climate change as prophesied by scientists. And if I'm to be honest, well, over a decade ago, while I was a student in Oxford, I was asked to organize a colloquium on climate change. And having taken a vow of obedience, I dutifully put together researchers and thinkers from every side of the argument, including Thomists who won the day by telling non-religious scientists about the Catholic and cardinal virtue of temperance. But at the end of the colloquium, at which we'd heard some rather frightening prognoses, I said to my student master, "What did you think of the conference and what they said? Do you think it'll be as bad as the scientists tell us?" And he, somewhat laconically and with a Christian stoicism, said to me, "Well, the Lord says the world will end at some point, so it might well happen through climate change, couldn't it?" I was taken aback by his statement at first, but then I realized the deep faith that underpinned the truth of his comment. For the one thing we know is this: the world will end. Or sooner than that, perhaps, we shall certainly experience our own mortality, for we shall all suffer and die. And for many, these traumas of our human being will shake our faith. Oh, what times, what calamities must we yet endure? But it is precisely into such times as ours, and into the confusion and the pain of our human condition, into these apocalyptic moments, that the Lord Jesus asks, quite simply but hauntingly, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Not if the Son of Man comes, but when he comes, for he surely will come to us. But do we have faith in God's providence? Do we believe and know that God is ultimately in charge? With all our talk of chaos and doom, do we Christians, children of a God of love, trust that despite the times we live in and that we shall go through, our Heavenly Father is still, in fact, Lord of all time and of this, our lifetime? We hear it proclaimed every Easter, don't we? All time belongs to him and all the ages. It's inscribed on the Paschal candle. But let it be inscribed on our hearts and in our minds, so that no matter how dark our times and our life might become, still the light of the risen Lord, radiant with the promise of victory, the light of faith, will shine. Recall the words of Pope Francis in his first encyclical, Lumen Fidei, the light of faith. The Holy Father said, "Those who believe see. They see with a light that illumines their entire journey, for it comes from the risen Christ, the morning star which never sets." So powerful is this light, which comes from a deep knowledge of God's loving care, from knowledge of his providence for all creatures, that as Pope Francis goes on to say, we gain fresh vision, new eyes to see. We realize that faith contains a great promise of fulfillment, and that a vision of the future opens up before us. Faith received from God as a supernatural gift becomes a light for our way, guiding our journey through time. For we know with divine faith that all things are held in God's providence and each passing moment. Everything happens in his good time, directed to the good end that God has prepared for us. For all that God permits, all that he causes, is directed to the great end of our salvation. St. Augustine, who is cited in the Catechism, reminds us that in time we can discover that God, in his almighty providence, can bring a good from the consequences of an evil, even a moral evil, caused by his creatures. Time, therefore, is the bearer and the revealer of God's providential action in our world. And all that God is doing is ordered towards the good. And those with faith can see this. St. Catherine of Siena, our holy sister, said, everything comes from love. All is ordained for the salvation of man. God does nothing without this goal in mind. For God is the creator, is he not? Sustaining all things in being and the cause of all good. Hence, St. Thomas Aquinas says, all things that exist in whatsoever manner are necessarily directed by God towards some end. As the Apostle says, those things that are of God are well ordered, and we are of God. We belong to him, and all time is his. And so God knows each and everything, each creature, every single person that he makes, and he knows and he loves us into being, keeping us in existence individually. He orders all things according to his wisdom, a wisdom and a design that is inscrutable to us, for our intellect is just not great enough to understand and to fathom the majesty and the power of God. But know this, every breath that you take, every beat of your heart, every moment of your existence is evidence of the God who lovingly creates and sustains you, holding us in being, holding us in the embrace of his love. One of the most attractive images of how God holds us in his being and providentially keeps us in his love is found in a 14th century text, The Revelations or the Showings of Divine Love, written by the English mystic Julian of Norwich. In the fifth chapter, she writes, our Lord showed me in a spiritual manner how intimately he loves us. I saw that he is everything that is good and supports us. He clothes us in his love, envelops us and embraces us. He wraps us round in his tender love, and he will never abandon us. As I understand it, he is everything that is good. He also showed me a tiny thing in the palm of my hand, the size of a hazelnut. And I looked at this with the eye of my soul, and I thought, what is this? And this is the answer that came to me. It is all that is made. I was astonished that it managed to survive. It was so small, that I thought that it might disintegrate. And in my mind, I heard this answer. It lives on and will live on forever because God loves it. So every single thing owes its existence to the love of God. And I saw then that this tiny thing had three properties that were essential to it. The first is that God made it. The second is that God loves it. The third, that God preserves it. But perhaps our personal sufferings and our observation of the sin and evils done in our times and in our world leads us to confusion. Over the millennia, countless people who have suffered the effects of evil wonder where God is and how a good God can permit such evil. And they doubt that God's providence still holds sway. Beautiful and somewhat perplexing at times, book of Job in the Bible shows a righteous man struggling with this. Or perhaps sometimes we feel like the apostles who were caught in the storm when the Lord is seemingly asleep at the stern of the boat, and they ask, Lord, do you not care if we perish? Admittedly, terrible times do rock our faith, and the Lord knows this. The Lord knows that we will be shaken, which is why he asks, when he comes, will he find any faith on earth? To prepare us indeed for terrible times, he has given us warning in the scriptures. And he has moreover in the scriptures given us encouragement for these terrible moments. In St. Mark's Gospel, the Lord has said, false Christs and false prophets will arise and show signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But take heed. I have told you all things beforehand. In St. Luke's Gospel, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now when these things begin to take place, look up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. In St. Matthew's Gospel, the tribulations affect not just the cosmos, but each of us personally. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because wickedness is multiplied, most men's love will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Endure then in your faith to the end. And have this passage from St. John's Gospel engraved in your hearts. The Lord Jesus says, I have said this to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And so when our faith is shaken because of tribulation and troubles of our times, because we suffer and are saddened, because many speak words of doom and despair, the Lord Jesus, the risen Lord, the one who has conquered the grave, and destroyed sin and evil and death, he says to us, in me you may have peace. In these times then, as in every time and in every age, we shall find our peace and our solution only in him. He alone is the Savior. So in Jesus Christ alone do we put our trust. When the Son of Man returns, may he then find us watching, waiting, calling out to him in faith and in prayer. Indeed, let him find us in prayer with our Blessed Mother, gathered in a novena of prayer that calls upon him with hope. Hence, St. Jude, speaking about these apocalyptic times, said, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." But perhaps some are tired of waiting. Perhaps the time for some is too long and we are wearied. The Lord, we think, delays his coming and is too slow to help and deliver us. But what is this time, this lifetime of waiting for? What does it mean to wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life? It is these themes and these questions that I hope to address over the course of this novena, and I shall speak of it tomorrow. So stay with me and wait, if you please, just a little more.